Right, we're back with episode 8 and a bit of a shaky start to this week's recording as our software kept crashing due to my dodgy Wi-Fi. Fun times. You're listening to 10 Things I Hate About, an Outlander podcast with myself, Sharon and Ruth. This week we're on to the second half of season 3, from Creme de Menthe to Eye of the Storm.
We all have our favourite shows, but there's always something that comes along that means you like it a little less. The technical term is the Scrappy-Doo effect. Two friends create a safe space to talk about their favourite show, Outlander, all the things they love about it and some of the things they hate. Although we all love Outlander, there are things we hate. Admit it, there's always something. So we've created a safe space, a space for all Outlander lovers to share their dark secrets, but mainly it's a space to share ours. Every week, we'll discuss episodes, their themes, feminism, what we love, and every week we'll talk about something we hate. Roger. Yep, we hate him. But let's be clear, we don't hate Rick Rankin. We have a clear grasp on reality. So join us, gentle viewer. Join Sharon and Ruth, two England-based Outlander fans, as they discuss love, hate, and time travel.
Okay, here we are again. This works properly this time. Not sure if it will. Nothing? Did that freeze again?
No, that was fine.
Okay. Okay, good. Good. No, it's recording then.
Yeah.
The stress of recording a podcast from home while your parents are streaming BBC iPlayer next door.
Well, that probably is the big contributing factor. Can't you get them to watch Coronation Street or something?
That's probably what they are streaming. Anyway, here we are. Back for episode 8, which is exciting. I can't believe we're in episode 8 already.
I know. It's quite amazing. I'm not sure. I mean, hey, we might take off, but I'm not sure I've got the stamina for 400. and also, we're doing a half season per episode, and we're already virtually halfway through all the existing seasons. So
yeah, and I think that's why it feels. I don't know. It just sometimes when we're talking about it, I'm like, oh, we're here.
Yeah,
it feels like we're just like, I'm like, okay, we're just here now, and because you do kind of jump on quite a lot from episode to episode, like we,
but yeah,
from,
you do, yeah,
like from our episodes, I mean, like half a season is quite a lot.
Yeah,
did you enjoy this half?
Yeah, and I tell you what's interesting. I think I was, and I'm not quite sure why, but I did. How about you?
Yeah, I did. It does feel, and I think we wrote this in some of the notes, it does feel a bit disjointed or something. It's something, there's it kind of goes a bit like all over the place. There's no
And I think if you think about it, the, you know, even the first half of the season is you are cutting back and forward through time periods, but you're also cutting back and forward through a 20-year period. But in this, you know, it feels like you pack a lot in to half a season. So, you know, you have them going back to Lallybroch. You have them in Edinburgh and then having to sort of, you know, it's almost a bit like, you know, they only just find each other and then it's like drama, drama, drama.
Kicks off.
All again. And, you know, I mean, it's just like she's not even had her breakfast and somebody is trying to rape and murder her.
Yeah. It just kicks off. And his whole print shop is burnt to the ground. You're like, what?
His print shop burns to the ground.
In the space of about 20 minutes, Jamie's life just crumbles around.
Exactly. So you've got all this drama happen. And then, you know, they go back to Lallybroch for a bit of, you know, peace and quiet. And then it kicks off there all again.
And the shit hits the fan and then, big time.
And then, and obviously we'll come back and talk about that more. But the thing that I find really quite funny is, you know, it's the only time that I ever really feel that the narrative is quite contrived. And the fact that they have to go get the jewels and then young Ian swims across. And just at the same time as a ship is coming to get the jewels as well, and yeah. they kidnap him. And the makers use a drone. I don't think they use a drone in any other.
Yeah.
So, or less obviously. And then yeah. they obviously have that drone shot where they pull out.
Yeah.
And they're stood on the beach.
I do sometimes
feel like in my head, it's pulling out because we're all going, what the fuck just happened?
Did I really see that? Is this actually?
Did that just happen?
It was, and just because also, even like you're like, he suddenly made his way from they've made their way from being like rowing through an open sea, like in a tiny little boat, and they were suddenly on the island in the space of about 20 seconds, where you feel like it really would have taken Ian about a minute and a half to walk down that hillside. It would not have taken them a minute and a half to row through the open sea.
So it is one of the only sort of bits that I find it, I just find it beggars belief a little bit. And obviously there's lots of narrative contrivance in the whole program. And most of the time I let that wash over me, but this one was particular. And then obviously then we go from that to, you know, them having to then go and rescue Ian. And yeah, so it's kind of wild really this season.
Yeah, it's a wild ride. It is.
And they don't really have any other motive, you know, like at least in the early ones, they had kind of the fact that they're, you know, fighting against the English and then building up to a war. In this, this is just like season three is just drama, 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 drama.
Yeah, lots of
And I know it would have made for a boring television programme, them just being living peacefully in Edinburgh.
It's also drama, 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 and none of the drama is really linked. It's almost
I think that's the thing. It's almost like vignette of episodes, you know, because you've got the stuff with the Jonah and the, you know, the sea being calm, and then you've got Claire having to save the Navy vessel from the typhoid fever, and then even just young Ian's like own like little bit where you find out what's happened to him.
Yeah,
and it's all Claire on the island.
Yeah, it's all very, yeah, it all jumps, and even the, I think this is, I guess it felt, because we're doing it in these kind of like you know, quite long sections, just so much packed in, because it starts like, you forget that it starts in Creme de Menthe. That's the episode we're starting with, where they go from like this blissful night of, you know, two lovers rejoin and haven't seen each other, and it's just so amazing, to like she's suddenly doing open brain surgery on the bed in a brothel, and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
I was, in the last episode, I was literally complimenting glassware. And now she's performing open brain surgery in the 18th century.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. And there's a little bit of frustration, I think, there, because you are kind of clinging on to that romance, and then suddenly they're bickering, and you're just like, oh, I did not sign up for this, for the bickering. Like, and you know, you can just, and then it's, you know, that 20 years apart, just, I know they're just trying to seep it into your brain. You're like, you know, 20 years apart from each other, him living in a very different time, and all that. It's quite frustrating. But that episode is like, I love the introduction of, Ian and Fergus's little duo. Like, they're very sweet, like they work so well together, and you know, that was, but otherwise, yeah, that episode I just found a bit blah.
But on the whole, like I said, I mean, all, you know, I can kind of take the kind of roller coaster of drama, you know, that's kind of what you get with Outlander, but But yeah, I did, you know, when I got to rewatching the episodes where they're on the ship, felt quite different about this time. And I did, you know, I did enjoy it more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big difference. All right. And then, and I do, and also like, I think I forgot how short their stint in Lollybrook is.
Yeah.
But I do. Do you remember watching it for the first time and you've been like, her coming in, I can't remember, because we had read the book, didn't we? I think we'd read that. That was the last. That was only up as far as there, I think.
See, I don't think. I think I only read the first two. I think you.
Oh, was it? I think I read it then. And yeah, I just remember being like, "Whoa, that intro was just brilliant." When Leary storms through the door.
Yeah.
It was very good. The arguing that pursued afterwards was. Really intense.
Yeah,
really,
I mean,
well,
it's one of the things, and I think this is just because they're so good at being like a passionate couple that they can turn that into different sort of zones. So when they have the big arguments, their arguments are so vicious and passionate. You know, you really do believe them, and they're always great, and they're always a bit ridiculous as well, and I quite like that about it.
But I love the way and I love his vulnerability as well in that. When she's just like, you know, you promised me this, and then he literally just goes, because I'm weak. I'll do much more than this. And you almost are like, yeah, you're such a shit for lying about it. But then his vulnerability comes out, and you're just like, oh, God's sake.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's this honesty, this real burning honesty underneath it all. And of course, like we've always talked about, like that desire, his desire for her is just always just so strong. And even in their arguing, it's just, it's brought across really well.
But I think it's, you know, I think the stuff in Lollybrock is always really good. And I always think, you know, that making Leary less, you know, showing that after all this time, she's, you know, she's not this manipulative kind of spoiled child anymore. She's a woman that's had a kind of horrible life.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think that's a really good, you know, and how she, you know, even with, you know, even as we see, you know, as we see in future episodes, when Marcelly is talking to Claire about sex, how you start to have an insight into, you know, even though Jamie and Leary's relationship wasn't particularly good, she still didn't want to let him go.
You provided for us. You were like a security blanket, or, you know, you're
also kind of still that kind of. But yeah. I think the introduction, you know, it's a really good introduction for Marcelly. But I also think Joan is an adorable character. I could have watched more of Joan.
Yeah, she is. She's very sweet.
She was great. She's really sweet.
Yeah, she is really sweet. And there's that shot of the two of them on the stairs is a really sweet. It's really sweetly captured, I think. Like just the lighting and the mood and him just like embracing that fatherhood that he just seems to slip out of his grasp constantly, this need to be, you know, he's spent his whole life wanting to be a father, and he just can never get there without massive sacrifice. But yeah, it is really, really sweet. And Marcelly's just, I mean, we just grow to love her more and more throughout this episode.
I mean, I just think Marcelly's great.
We'll talk about that a bit more.
And
it's just like everyone in the house is like, Jenny has it out for her as well, and you're just Claire can't catch a break like the minute she gets there. But Jenny always like, it's just, she's just so good. And I love that scene between her and Ian when he's like, you know, if, what do you say, is like, if you put a, you know, pot of shit on to boil, you know, you're the one that's gonna stand there and stir it or something like that. And it's just like, he's like, I forget, you know, you forget I hear your prayers every night. They're very good. For two actors who clearly don't spend a lot of time in front of the screen together, they're great when they do.
And I know that Jenny the character is coming back in season 7, but not the actor.
Yeah.
It's been recast, which I think, I mean, you know, obviously we don't know what the new actor will be like, but I think that's quite a loss.
It is. She's great.
Because she's so strong in it.
Yeah, she's great. She's really plays really good. And the two of them are very good together. Jamie and Jenny, you know, Sam Heughan, they're very good together on screen.
I mean, Laura Donnelly's, you know, a good actor, but she's really, you know, she's really good in this. I think she, you know, in a way, like capturing the things, almost like the sort of similarity between her and Jamie, where she's like, you know, she is strong, she's stubborn, but she's got this kind of vulnerability and you know, and I suppose in a way a bit different to Jamie. Or I suppose in this episode, in a way that, you know, he sort of reflects on being a coward for not being honest with Claire, she, you know, like finding it very hard to be vulnerable and be honest. About it.
They're very good. They're really enjoyable. Every scene with them I really enjoy. It was a shame it wasn't for longer, but you know, they needed to hop to it.
Well, I mean, exactly.
Across the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Make haste. I mean, and you're left kind of, you are left with that, like, I mean, their exit from Lollybrook is obviously so dramatic, and Jamie gets shot, and then suddenly they're suddenly sending young Ian across fucking freezing cold Scottish waters to fetch some jewels.
I genuinely kept thinking to myself, I don't understand why they couldn't use a boat. Yes, why they might have had to row a little bit further, but why couldn't they use a boat?
I know, it's just ridiculous.
How did they get the jewels on the island?
How is he going to swim with a big box of jewels?
And that island has got a castle on it. The people who built the castle didn't swim the bricks over. I just don't understand. Couldn't get a bow.
Yeah, it is a bit. Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous. That whole time, and you almost forget it, like that they've just had this huge argument where she was essentially going back to, you know, the 20th century. And then you go through all of that, and it's even not until they're on the boat where they bring it up again, and he's getting his acupuncture, and you're like, and then he's like, well, I didn't want to tell you because things are a bit fraught between us, and you're like, hold on, what? When are they? Are they?
Right, all out.
When did that happen? I thought you sorted that shit out ages ago. What's going on? that's quite amusing, but and Marcy's reintroduction on the boat is really great.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. They're just so great. And I think we'll probably bring this up a lot going forward now, anyone listening, is we have a fierce love for Fergus and Marcy. They're definitely our second favourite couple on this.
Absolutely. And anybody who, you know, prove to us that the other couple are better than them. Prove it.
They're
I feel
so
like we
good.
Should maybe do a special that is just about why Marcy and Fergus are better than Bree and Roger.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much. And they're such a good reflection, almost. They're like a little mini reflection of Jamie and Claire. The way, you know, they always treated Fergus as their own as a young boy, and you can just, you know, clearly there has, you know, Fergus has grown up with those values, and he's been with Jamie for quite a long time. And Marcy, even though she fiercely despises Claire, shows so much of her strong qualities, which is just so lovely. So they're quite nice, you know, they're really enjoyable in that way.
Yeah, they are. And I think that's really captured in like their little wedding scene, which I just think is great.
So good.
It's really funny. It's really, you know, tender. And like when Jamie sort of gives, you know, sort of formally gives Fergus his surname, and, you know,
so
I just think
nice.
It's just really nicely done, really well done.
I get goosies every time I watch that, and he's like, Fraser. You're like, oh, Jamie.
Yeah, it's
so
great.
Sweet.
It's
great.
And also you kind of forget that Fergus isn't his real name, that he actually has an actual French name that for some reason nobody's allowed to use.
Yeah, he's just Fergus. Oh yeah, no, it's really great with like when I watch it the second time, that the priest is so good. I think he is excellent.
Yeah, I mean the comic timing that he has.
Yeah,
is makes that whole scene really hilarious.
It's really good. He's so good. He's just like, I just thought he was. It was so random.
Absolutely.
Her on the island, Mamacita. That whole thing was so random. Yeah. The only pleasure I got out of that whole thing was when she takes the bath, and all I can think of is, oh my god. That is literally, I can almost feel the relief from her skin.
Oh, yeah. You
know, she's just like scorched from the sun.
She's been in the sea.
Yeah.
She's then dehydrated.
Yeah.
Bitten by ants.
My worst fear.
Burnt by the sun. Yeah, I mean, and she'll have been filthy as.
And stinking. Like, you can just, back to hygiene again, folks, but like absolutely reeking. You can just smell it. And I'm just like, the only thing, I'm like, when she gets into that bath, I'm like, oh yes, that's all I wanted to do was douse her in like ice cold water for this whole thing.
For sure.
And a bit of soap. And then there's like the coconut that he talks to, and it's all a bit random. But then it's just, his timing is great when even when they find the goat, the skinned goat, and she's just, and he just keeps fobbing her off. Like it's very comical. And then she sends her down to the beach. But yeah, like, I mean, at this stage, we're like, right, how many times have they lost each other already?
They've literally
just back together. And you're just like the stress of all of
it. We've
not
even found Ian yet.
No, we haven't even seen Ian. Ian hasn't reappeared on screen yet.
Exactly.
And then we have the lovely wedding theme, which is, it's really great. And I thought the priest just made it really well. Does he have a cock? It's just
it's kind of almost like a bit like surreal, stupid humour. But done really well, really funny.
Yeah.
And like, you know, even like when he mistakes the groom, and then he's like, are you sure? He's only got one hand. And you know, just really good.
So he's like, does he have a cock?
Deadpan responding.
Yeah, it's so good. It's like, if you hurry up, I'll find out. And then, like, you know, I've been wanting to bed you for months. She's just like, I love how she speaks her mind. It's great. And then, like, when they're, I know they spend a long time as well trying to get Jamie's approval and all that. And those scenes where what's she doing? Is she helping him with something? They have absolutely on fire chemistry. It's on the boat,
she's,
in the cabin.
She's cleaning his
hand.
His arm where it connects with his, as a team to, you know, because obviously Fergus is under a lot of pressure from Jamie to release him, but doesn't feel like that's the right thing. And it's Marcelly that figures out how to kind of, ease the pressure on Fergus.
It's
really, you know, really clever how, you know, she understands what Fergus is going through, but she also, because she knows Jamie so well, knows the sort of trick to sort of protect them both, really. From themselves.
She really kind of steps into that role that you normally see Claire taking on, which is really nice. One of the wedding scene is definitely one of my favorite scenes of this whole season. Really good.
I agree. And chemistry. I think the bill, because she's got an infection, and it's just done really well. Like, it is both sexy and hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, it is really funny. Like, the way it starts when she's like, you know, you need to give me penicillin.
Yeah.
And he's like, and
you can't inject her.
You can't inject her. Like, Jesus Christ, Jamie, all the things you've had to do in like your lifetime, and you can't like put a little needle into her arm.
Yeah.
Which is quite, you know, you're just like, oh, it's classic him. But yeah, that is such a good scene. It's so good. It's very sexy. It's very funny. Like that there, you know, he can't resist her. And even though he's trying to be like, you're ill, you need to rest.
Yeah, exactly.
And then with Willoughby coming to the door.
Yeah.
Asking her, does she need more soup? It's really good.
It is.
Kind of like a welcome break from all the time they had to spend apart. I think it's like timed very well.
Yeah.
And I think that it's not until then that we see Ian for the first time and what has happened to that poor lad.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then we go into like the Bakra where it's like what happened to him on this, on this journey. Ironically condensed into like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Literally he's there. He is there in a second.
No, he's been doing 7 months or whatever on a ship like they have, but he gets 5 minutes.
Yeah. Kind of, well, you're like, I literally can't watch any more people at sea.
Fair enough. We've had enough of people on boats. And I have to say, I can't 100% remember, but I think one of the best reintroductions of a character.
Brilliant.
With Gaelis.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I whooped because I don't think I'd read the book and I hadn't seen any spoilers. So I didn't know that it was going to be her. And then just her like emerging out of this pool of blood.
It is
amazing.
It's so dramatic. It's brilliant.
It's just so great. And I just think trying to achieve it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a good point. That absolutely.
And like nobody else, you know, the fact that she had a baby, the fact that she had husbands and lovers, and they are just irrelevant. Because the only thing she cares about is Scottish independence. But then equally, she's completely insane. Because she's obviously been killing all these poor young lads, which I can't 100% tell why.
Yeah, it's all a bit... I know she says, like, the virgins have a very powerful or something. And she's like, you know... And
but it's like, why do you need to keep killing them? Just let them go.
Let them go, yeah. Just like, you know, get your power or whatever it is you're looking for.
Why are you killing all these poor teenage boys?
Give me the secret, because sweet Christ alive, that skin that she has is just insane.
Yeah, I mean, she looks amazing.
When that episode finished, I was like, I wonder if I'm going to get loads of blood to like ease my face. Like,
blood.
Should I start bathing in blood to get skin like that? It's unreal. Yeah. But yeah, no, she's great. And Claire seeing her as their reintroduction together was really good. And Lord John as well. I really enjoyed that, them kind of confronting each other again, or like coming up together. It's very different to the book, but like, because I just remember this is where I stopped reading the books, but the book introduction is really strange. Claire's introduction to him, it's almost like got the air of the book, but they don't explain why she should be so pissed off when you're watching the series, because you're like, why would she be so pissed? Like, she just looks annoyed and uncomfortable with the two of them meeting each other, rather than you're kind of a bit like, well, why aren't you super intrigued or just like, you know, really happy that he's got this really lovely friendship and this man who's, you know, taking care of his son, and like, surely this person should be a real important figure in that you would want to meet now.
But
I don't think they explain that very well, but I do love Jamie and John's friendship, so that was quite nice. But yeah, it's that all kind of happens again as in the spirit of season 3. It's all very dramatic things happen in the space of like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Then suddenly Gaelis comes along and you're like, and then suddenly Claire is being captured again.
It is wild. I think In a way, I think it ends strongly. Part of me kind of almost wishes it ended like just where they got away, you know, where they'd killed Gaelis and they got away. But then we end up back on a fucking boat again.
Yeah.
And have a back big on storm. A boat.
Yeah, and the big storm and all that kind of business. And yeah, they have sex again, which is a nice kind of finishing out scene. But yeah, it does. I think because it's a strange one because it's like that where you're going back to a few episodes previous or is it at the start of that episode where she says, you know, everything's quiet, I'm dying or something. And then it switches to something else. And what you didn't realize or whatever is that was the scene from the end of the season.
Yeah.
So you kind of switch back and then they're on a beach in Georgia. So yeah, it does give us, you know, that entry into the next pre-seasons now.
Yeah, where we're in America.
In the new world.
And it goes from there. Just while we're talking about like them being, I think one of the things, because obviously there is, I mean, there's always a lot in each season, but this one feels like there's a lot crammed into it and we're a bit all over the place. Like, you know, in sometimes actually in many, many multiple locations, including more than one continent. But I think because of that, I appreciate that it would have been difficult to sort of do it any justice, but I feel like the stuff with slavery is really badly done. It's like they don't want to not acknowledge it because, you know, that would be, you know, to be in Jamaica and not acknowledge that's when there's an active slave trade.
Yeah.
But then equally it's done in such a kind of white liberal guilt way where, you know, they're sort of the white saviors for one person.
Yeah.
But none of the black characters are giving any kind of agency or.
Yeah. It is. It's not until really we get into when Claire has a lot more engagement with the River Run.
Yeah.
With the River Run staff and that we kind of see more of that. But it is like we barely, even like that when they. Jamie buys the slave for Claire and gives her the certificate or whatever, and she just feels disgusted. Even that character he's just like there, and then he's gone again.
It's like a cipher, really. It's not.
Yeah, it's just like a token. Yeah, token like, feeling it, of it, guilt.
It is. It's like, oh, we feel really bad that this happened. But we want to be, in, you know, inverted commas, historically accurate, even though we're doing a film about time travel, a TV show about time travel. So we're going to say that we can't do anything about this.
Mm.
And this is the closest thing, you know, and I just find, I just think it's not very well done. And I just think if you're going to include stuff about slavery, you have to give those characters agency and more depth than just like background that you feel sorry for.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so agreed. I don't think it doesn't add anything as well, like,
no,
to the whole
it doesn't
thing.
I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, don't do anything. It wouldn't make it better, but what you did didn't make it better either.
Yeah. And then kind of there's more room for depth, I think, when we move into actual being in the southern states of America. It's like, okay, well, now let's make that one of the themes then, if that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to address, let's, you know, bring that in then. And it does feel like all over the place. It's like, then they're going out to the dancing. Then there's, oh my God, your man from Scotland and the sister. Like, I forgot about that. And Willoughby, you're just like, holy shit, man. Like, what? Like, when she arrives and you're like, who fucking remembers this guy? He comes out of nowhere and you're like, what's going on now? What's this thing that I have to follow?
And then
Willoughby falling in love with her, and then there's all this the dancing around the cave, and you're just you really do feel like there's like a million things happening. The whole thing with the Mamacita, and her going off, that story, and then there's this other one, and then there's the slave trade thing, and then you're just like, whoa, like bouncing all over the place. You almost need two episodes of just the two of them, like making dinner or something.
And I think that is the thing, really. And I know that they start that, they mostly stay true to the books, but I feel like they could have genuinely cut some stuff out, because the thing that drives this program forward is those two characters. That's kind of what we signed up for, and what we don't get is, that satisfaction of the fact that they're back together and then are able to be together for a bit. We don't get that.
Because we're just
like, like on some kind of pinball machine getting bounced all over the place.
And I think that's why the First Wife episode worked quite well.
Yeah.
In that sense, because we're like, okay, it's not all roses. But we've always enjoyed that side of them. Yeah. Like when Jamie gets hurt and he's like, God, you've got a really good, angry silence. That's really enjoyable to watch.
Yeah,
she's like angrily sewing him up. Yeah. And you're like, okay, great. And I don't know, there could have been almost a little bit of room for a bit more exploration on how at one time, 20 odd years ago, they had a real good rhythm and they worked really well together, and that really, that there was a little bit room of like, now it's 20 years on, the chemistry's still there.
Yeah.
But I think they could have played with that, being frustrated with each other a bit more.
Absolutely.
And with a bit of added sexual chemistry as well. Absolutely. In there was definitely room for that would have been quite enjoyable. Get rid of the brother and sister in the show.
You could have definitely had an episode or an episode and a half of them being together, like you say, the stuff that is actually interesting and the things that we like and we sign up for. And then I mean, I'm probably going to lose my mind when we start talking about season four, because obviously we barely fucking see them, and we have those two.
I can't believe we have to watch that now.
I've just remembered all this frustration is now bubbling up inside me.
Yeah.
Because I think that is, although I think I enjoyed the second half of season three more, but I think it's because I approached it almost in a way like it's written by like these little vignette stories that have a very loose thread to them. When what we really wanted was just a bit more of them, like you say, reconnecting, finding their rhythm, dealing with the trauma of being apart for all that time. Mm. And that is washed over.
Mm. Yeah, because there must be so much that he's harboring as well. Like she, obviously she's very quickly dealing with the fact that he's had another child. And he does bring it up in their fight, which we want more of, is, he's like, she's like, did you think I just went back to Frank and lived happily ever after? And he's like, sometimes I hoped you would, but sometimes I could, and he like just picks the chair up and throws it against the wall because he's just like, and sometimes they, it's like, let's flesh this out a bit.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Can we just see a bit more of these frustrations and and
of what, in a way, the stuff that we can all relate to.
Yeah.
And the reason why we like these characters, because they've got this kind of passionate relationship, but they've also got to deal with all the stuff that we all have to deal with in relationships, which is lots of frustration with each other and anger. And then like, also like, what would we be like after 20 years? And how does this couple, who is like the ideal couples, who are so passionate about each other, who still love each other really deeply and only want to be together and have the best sex that television has ever seen, and we barely get any of that.
Yeah,
and it's like little room. It's like little crumbs of a really nice cake.
Yeah.
Rather than a big, massive slice.
Yeah. It just feels like there was, because then suddenly they are now in America and there's like a whole thing and you've lost that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was like, you know, this, you know, she's gone to university. She studied to become a surgeon. Like, there's just, I don't know, like, there's just so much there. Like, the stuff that she's, I mean, he's been in, Christ, what he's been through. Classic Jamie.
I mean, just from hairstyles alone.
Yeah. Oh, between fringes and hair bobbles and perms. Jamie's
Ten
hair strikes
colours.
Again. Oh, Jamie's hair strikes again.
Can't ever not mention Jamie's hair.
No, can't get away with that. But we do. Even though the stories are quite disjointed,
yeah.
I think there's some really strong feminist themes running through this half of the season, which is always a welcome relief, I think.
Yeah, I think. In a way, one of the things that they do well is that kind of showing kind of, you know, what are the initial sort of seeds of it that you see in the first season where she is a medic, but where we've got to after 20 years is, you know, she's a qualified surgeon, and by that she's in charge of people, she's a leader, and you see that getting, I think, you know, the bit where she is on the Navy ship, and she has to be in charge, because if she isn't in charge, they're all gonna die.
Yeah,
and I just think that's done really, really well.
Yeah, it's really good. She's in such an incredibly vulnerable position.
Yeah,
as you know, like, and because Jamie brings it up briefly when he's like imprisoned on the other ship, that, like, you know, he's saying, you know, you said my lady couldn't get sick or something like that. And then he's like, it's not that I'm worried about it. She's on a ship with 400 men or something.
Yeah.
And you are thinking, like, that she is in that vulnerable position of not knowing anyone, but she's just, you know, she takes on that real strong leadership role that, you know, she has everyone, like, asking her what she needs immediately and respecting her.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, that real, like, maternal side of her comes out with Mr. Pound, which is like really heartbreaking. It's just like that feeling of loss again that always, you know, is never too far away in Outlander. And we see this, and you brought it up as well earlier, which is so true. It's like Marcelly playing that part as well, that strong finding solutions, you know, with Fergus and Jamie, finding a way through, speaking her mind. I think, you know, that's really welcome. I think it just it balances really well with Claire, and I think Claire is almost like, as a little bit of her being kind of like older and wiser in the way that she's like, you know, before sometimes she would just like really just speak her mind immediately without kind of thinking about it and thinking about the consequence stuff. And it's almost like Marcelly takes that on now.
Yeah.
And Claire is like kind of a little bit in the background with, just like be wise and quiet in the background. But, you know, she's great.
One of the bits that I really like is when the cook on the naval ship is having a go at her because people are still
dying,
getting sick, and she just stands there with this look on her face. She doesn't say anything to him, she doesn't argue with him, she just stands there with this look on her face, like, fuck you, you don't know what you're talking about. And I just love it so much, like, she, whereas before she would have got herself angry and shouted at him, but she just stands there, like, with her arms folded, with this really, like, fuck you, we'll see.
I just think it's
great. I just think it's really good. So I think that's one of the things that, like, almost as well, like, being away from Jamie, she's allowed to show that she's a leader.
Because she
does save that. Obviously people do die, but she saves so many of them, and obviously all of them would have died if it wasn't for her. Also, just sometimes you forget that she is like a bit of a badass as well. I mean, she's traveled through time, she's living in a different age, she did all of that on her own, you know. She found Jamie the second time,
yeah,
then she saves an entire ship of people from dying of typhoid fever. And then she ends up on a desert island and survives on a, well, it's not a desert island, but you know what I mean, and survives on a desert island on her own. Is she getting enough credit for all of that shit?
No.
I don't think she is.
No, definitely not. Absolutely not. And in the meantime, every other person is calling her a fucking whore.
Yeah.
So she's dealing with that as well. Like, it's just like branding her, like, right, for some reason, every person is like, she just kind of is like, okay, fine. The whore will take the bigger bed then.
Yeah, that was one of my favourite lines in it. I just thought that was so good.
Yeah, she's definitely an example of like, just what it is to take the high road in this one. And no, she definitely doesn't get enough credit.
Does not get enough credit. You know, like a lot of people keep saying like how she's always having to be saved by Jamie. But actually she, you know, can we do a tally up of how many times she saves him?
Yeah. Definitely doesn't get enough credit, but yeah, she's a warrior for sure. I really like the development of Claire in as a, you know, woman leaving in her 20s, coming back in her 40s. I think her development is really good.
Yeah, I agree. Shall we touch on fashion?
Yeah, yeah. We've got, you know, she's mainly in her Batman costume
she's in that for nearly the entire series, and it's perfectly fine. I do like some of her sun hats that she dons.
Oh yeah, that's true. I do love those. I hadn't written that down, but
for the sun hats,
always here for a sun hat for sure.
But I have to say, one of my favorite fashion things is Fergus's scarf when he's getting married. I love
dapper.
I think it's just like, you know, it's very chic. It's very French.
Yeah.
So. I'm a fan of the scarf. I'm a fan of Fergus's scarf.
Yeah, agreed.
That's one of my fashion highs.
Yeah, no, that is a great one. And his little cheeky smile when he like looks to the side. Yeah, I really like that. It just stands out because like no one else would be dressed like that. He just seems to pull it off really well.
Exactly.
Claire is in her Batman costume for a lot of it, apart from when they go to the governor's ball, which, and I just don't really particularly like her outfit, but in that, but I do love the way she has to fashion her, like, even though it's not a fashion, there's nothing major I can point out here, but like, I love the way she has to fashion what little she has into different ways. She, like, she hikes the skirt up at one stage, uses a belt to do something else, she tucks in her shirt.
Yeah, I mean, it's a proper Batman outfit, really, isn't it? Yeah,
there's several layers. Utility. There's several things she's
got bandanas on, you know, she's got underskirts being used as rucksacks.
Yeah, and she's and then suddenly she ends up in a beautiful, like, cotton nighty. Out of which is probably under there somewhere as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that was really good. And I the only other thing I remember, and I think Outlander does this really well at all stages of time, is Gaelis's dressing gown. I quite like. The dressing gowns in Outlander are really good. Whether it's the
not all of the dressing gowns.
No, the pajamas. Yeah, not the pajamas.
But she has a dressing gown on as well, a horrible nylon dressing gown.
Oh, does she?
Pajamas. Yeah. Bad.
Very bad. But yeah, I think they do. She's got some really nice ones when she's in the States as well. But that's the only other thing. But otherwise, yeah, it's quite lacking otherwise. But yeah, you know, which makes sense. Which brings us swiftly on to what we hated about this. And yeah, I think we've touched on it already. It's just that disconnection and being a bit all over the place.
Yeah,
it's just it's a bit random, and I think we talked about it quite at length there when we were saying about there was room for other stuff.
Yeah, it feels like they're too focused on kind of physically driving the story forward to certain points when I think they could have invested some of that time on, you know, Claire and Jamie. I think there was more that we could have seen and enjoyed there that kind of gets sacrificed.
Definitely.
So yeah, I think usually we have kind of slightly random stupid hits, but I think this time is genuinely kind of, you know, that. And then I think also the kind of, and I think it kind of fits with this in a way, the sort of tokenistic treatment of slavery in it.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, which I just feel like, you know, they could have thought more about, and what they do is weak, really.
Yeah, absolutely agreed.
Yeah, but I mean, but I feel like we'll be, I feel like, you know, maybe from the next episode, we'll be flipping the narrative quite a lot, and the and the hate section.
Can I just say,
may take up the entire hour
on our little Google Docs spreadsheet that Ruth and I use as we study each episode and write notes to each other. The hate section is usually like a couple of lines long. I feel this is going to turn. I feel there might be lengthy sections of what do we hate going forward, so just watch out, listeners.
God, I part of me feels like when we get to season four, we might not be doing half a season per episode, because we'll just need a whole podcast for just all the things that Roger does wrong in episode 3, or all the things that Roger does wrong in episode 5.
And, yeah, you know, it will literally just be...
We'll be able to move us on from it.
Boop, 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 teams, boop, 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 feminism, fashion. Okay, right. Get into the good
fashion
stuff.
Will get sacrificed so that we can squeeze one more hate in.
But yeah,
feminism, but what about how much we hate Roger in this bit? I think it's gonna go. It's maybe gonna take a turn for the dark.
Yeah, for sure. That's the only thing I'm looking forward to. Actually, in the next,
actually being able to rant not just over WhatsApp messages to one another.
Yeah,
but you haven't. Actually, be able to cathartically let it all out.
You haven't heard Sharon rant yet. You haven't heard Sharon and Ruth rant properly yet.
No, not. We've really let people. I mean, you know, they've not really had. You
might think you have, but you haven't.
No. The purpose of setting up this podcast was so that we could talk about how much we hate Roger.
Yeah,
and you've had, you know, you've had 8 episodes where we've not really mentioned him very much.
No.
It's going to change.
This is all changing.
It's all changing. And you think, oh, yeah, but there's only 3 seasons. Pfft, strap in, folks. there's a lot of hate coming. A lot. There's a lot of things to hate.
Yeah, there is. It was such a shocker at the time. But yeah, more about that in the next episode.
Yeah.
It was a good season, but it was just, it was a bit disjointed. And something you pointed out as well is their complete lack of attempt to age anyone. And especially Gaelish.
Gaelish. They just seem to have given her like a bit of a bad wig. So she's just younger. A really high forehead. But otherwise...
She's, I was like,
red. I think they've been like, they've made her red hair maybe slightly, like blonder,
Like a bit duller to make it look grey.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Claire has got like one streak of grey.
Yeah, otherwise a beautiful.
They're supposed to be people in their 40s. I'm here for that kind of level of aging.
Oh, yeah,
they're not going to look ancient. You know, they're only in their 40s.
The only one they did do, only one character that they aged was Leary, I thought. And that was really probably the only one.
And that seems more like it's to make her look like she's had a harder life.
Yeah.
Rather than the actual age. I mean, Bill Paterson, it's hilarious. I mean, I work on the assumption that his character is after 20 years. Probably in his 80s.
Yeah.
He just still looks like a bloke in his 60s.
He literally is like...
It's just so funny.
Like sprightly. I'm like, wouldn't he be happy? I think
Claire even makes a joke about
it. And she's like, he's still alive. They're going.
And then when she sees him, she's like, you haven't aged a day. It's like, no, he hasn't, has he, Claire?
He has not. He definitely not. Yeah, and especially at the time, you know, that would have been like unheard of for someone to be still alive at that age.
You know, yeah, I mean, I don't know how old he's supposed to be, but there's no way.
Absolutely, no.
Brilliant. But, you know, that's part of the fun.
It is. Yeah, it is definitely. And then we move. Yeah. So we'll be moving on next to season four, as you will have guessed. And I think we've said we're doing the America the Beautiful to Blood of My Blood, but actually we haven't properly agreed that, so we might just agree that we'll probably just put it on socials if it's definitely ending on that episode. But I think we just halved the season, but because a lot of them we usually try and have it so that there's sort of a, you know, like that's a natural break. So I've just written that in our notes, but yeah, we'll confirm on socials. But
I think there's a lot in here that a lot of other stuff that's good, a lot of other stuff that's good to pick apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well as all the hate. We'll try and create a balance.
And we've got a lot more of young Ian, which is always good.
Yeah, which is always good.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, please do, and get on the socials if you can.
Yeah, and please rate and our podcast on whichever platforms, you know, give us 5 stars. It's always good.
Yeah. Or follow and subscribe.
Yeah, follow and subscribe. Leave a nice comment. Keep listening. Join us again next time.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah.